still 1936, November already. November 19. When I experienced these sufferings for the first time, it was like this. After annual vow, on a certain day during prayer, I saw great greetings and issuing from the brilliant rays which completely enveloped me. Then suddenly I felt a terrible pain in my hands, my feet, in my side, in the crown of thorns. I experienced these sufferings during Holy Mass on Friday, but it was only a brief moment. This was repeated for several Fridays. And later on, I did not experience any sufferings up to the present time, that is up to the end of September of this year. In the course of the present illness, during Holy Mass, one Friday, I felt myself pierced by the same sufferings, and this has been repeated on every Friday. And sometimes when I meet the soul that is not in the state of grace, so she offer, it's a victim soul. I think she suffers all the anguish of Jesus on hand, feet, the side, and the head. Although this is infrequent, and the suffering lasts a very short time, still it is terrible, and I would not be able to bear it without a special grace from God. There is no outward indication of these sufferings. What will come later, I do not know. All this for the sake of souls. November 21st, 1936. Jesus, you see that I am neither gravely you nor in good health. You filled my soul with enthusiasm for action, and I have no strength. The fire of your love burns in me, and for what I cannot accomplish by physical strength, love will compensate. It's beautiful, huh? Although sometimes you're weak physically, without love, you can do something back, something more. Jesus, my spirit yearns for you. I desire very much to be united with you, but your works holds me back. The number of souls that I'm to bring to you is not yet complete. I desire toil and suffering. Let everything you have planned before the ages be fulfilled in me. Very courageous, eh? All the suffering she's willing to accept. Oh, my Creator and Lord, it is only your word that I understand. It only gives me strength. Your spirit, O Lord, is the spirit of peace, and nothing troubles my depths because you dwell there, O Lord. I know that I'm under your special gaze. O Lord, I do not examine with fear your plan regarding me. My task is to accept everything from your hand. I do not fear anything, although the storm is raging and frightful bolts strike around me, and I then felt quite alone. Loneliness, eh? Yet my heart senses you, and my trust grows, and I see all your omnipotence which upholds me. With you, Jesus, I go through life amid storms and rainbows, with a cry of joy, singing the song of your mercy. I will not stop singing my songs of love until the choirs of angels pick me up. There is no power that can stop me in my flight towards God. I see that even the superiors do not always understand the road along which God is leading me. And I'm not surprised at this. So many times the suffering is not being understood. Even by the superior, it's a suffering. That means could be misunderstood. But she's so willing. Whatever suffering, whatever, just willing. Even at the end of her life, the problem for the sake of souls. Once I saw Father Sopoko praying as he was reflecting on these matters, then I saw how a ring of light appeared suddenly above his head. Although distance separates us, I often see him, especially as he works at his desk, despite his fatigue. November 22nd, 1936. Today, during confession, the Lord Jesus spoke to me through the lips of a certain priest, not Sopoko himself. This priest did not know my soul. I only accused myself of my sins. Yet he spoke these words to me: accomplish faithfully everything that Jesus asks of you, despite the difficulties. Know that although people may be angry with you, Jesus is not angry and never will be angry with you. Confirmation. Pay no attention to human opinions. This instruction surprised me at first, but I understood that the Lord was speaking through him without his realizing it. O holy mystery, what great treasures are contained in you. O holy faith, you are my guidepost. November 24th, today I received a letter from Father Sopoko. I learned from it that God himself is conducting this whole affair. And as the Lord has begun it, so he continue to carry it along. And the greater the difficulties which I see, the more am I at peace. Oh, if this whole matter, the glory of God and the profit to souls were not greatly served, Satan would not be opposing it so much. So that Satan is opposing very much. But he senses what he is going to lose because of it. I have now learned that Satan hates mercy more than hates anything, because it's not mercy. It is his greatest torment. Still, the word of God will not pass away. God's utterance is living. Difficulties will not suppress the works of God, but show that they are God's. So what if sufferings could come from Satan, temptations? Don't worry, don't be afraid. Trust. On one occasion, I saw the convent of the new congregation. As I walked about, inspecting everything, I suddenly saw a crowd of children who seemed to be no older than 5 to 11 years of age. When they saw me, they surrounded me and began to cry out, "Defend us from evil." And they led me into the chapel, which was in this convent. When I entered the chapel, I saw the distressful Lord Jesus. Jesus looked at me graciously and said that he was gravely confronted by children. "You are to defend them from evil." From that moment, I have been praying for children, but I feel that prayer alone is not enough. So even children can sin, huh? Yeah, they are angels. If they yield to temptations under influence of Satan, hurt Jesus word more. Oh my Jesus, you know what efforts I littered to live sincerely and affectedly with those from whom thou nature flees, or with those who deliberately or not have made us suffer. Humanly speaking, this is impossible. At such times, more than at others, I try to discover the Lord Jesus In such a person and for these same Jesus, I do everything for such people. In such case, love is pure, and such practice of love gives the soul endurance and strength. I do not expect anything from creatures, and therefore I am not disappointed. It's interesting, man. I know that the creature is poor of itself, so what can one expect from it? So you feel good, bad? Certainly. Nothing good from bad, from human beings, no? God is everything for me. I want to evaluate everything according to God's ways. Even sufferings from people, take for granted. Don't hurt yourself much. Don't cry to God's sweet will. Not your fault. Humanity, only God can trust now. My communion with the Lord is now purely spiritual. My soul is touched by God and wholly absorbs itself in Him, even to the complete forgetfulness of self. Permeated by God to its very depths, it drank in His beauty. It completely absorbed in Him. I'm at a loss to describe Him, to describe this, because in writing, I'm making use of the sense. But there, in that union, the senses are not active. There is merging, a merging of God and the soul. And the life of God to which the soul is admitted is so great that a human tongue cannot express it. So whatever you write is still from human words, can express this kind of joy, peace with the Lord. You can express, even with words. So you can share with people how much I can share my love with Jesus. You cannot express the real peace. When a soul returns to its habitual form of life, it then sees that this life is all darkness and mist and dreamlike confusion. If you go back to reality, so, you know, awful. Our life is darkness. As if you understand many things compared to that, the divine experience, no comparison. We need to have this kind of experience, not with the Blessed Sacrament. So before you go away, come to the chapel, offer everything, be with Him. He's waiting for you. Today is the Feast of Blessed Sacrament. When He says, take it, it's not just naturally, if you want or not want, it's not a cake. It's Him. Cake, you might say, no, too sweet. But no, take it. It's nutritious for you, for your soul. Listen, you have to listen. When a soul returns to its habitual form of life, it then sees that life is all darkness and mist and dreamlike confusion and infant's swaddling clothes. In such moment, the soul only receives from God. For of itself, it does nothing. It does nothing. It does not make even the slightest effort. All in her is wrought by God. But when the soul returns to its ordinary state, it sees that it is not within its power to continue this union. So this very supernatural thing, union with the Lord. These moments are short, but the effects are lasting. The soul cannot remain long in this state, or else it would be forcibly freed of the bonds of the body forever. Even as it is sustained by miracle of God. God allows the soul to know in a clear way how much He loves it, although it were the only object of His delight. The soul recognizes this clearly and without avail, so as to speak. He reaches out for God with all his might, but he feels like a baby. He knows that this is not within its power. Therefore, God descends to the soul and unites it to himself in a way that here I must be silent, for I cannot describe what a soul experiences. When God comes to your soul, he said, no words can explain. Try to experience something that she was experiencing. She wrote this for the sake of us. Jesus commanded her to write for us. She experienced it and believe and do it ourselves. So don't lose this opportunity. It's a strange thing that although the soul which experiences this union with God cannot find words and expressions to describe it, nevertheless, when he meets a similar soul, the two understand each other extraordinarily well in regard to these matters, even though they speak but little with each other. Even the souls that have this same experience, they have the same feeling, even though you cannot speak much, understand one another, even among human beings. If we have the same experience with the Lord, we are more united, no? If Jesus say, Father, then they all will be one. So more be one in the Lord. So first of all, we one with the Lord, with him, and then we one with one another. We don't have to say many things. You don't tell people, I'm one with you. But we are just one in the Lord. Otherwise, where's unity from? Human unity is just you love, you please one another. But the unity of the Lord, this oneness is kind of with the words. You understand one another, you don't know how you understand another. When you see one another, you know one another. Better than, you know, sharing the whole night, you don't understand anything. And Jesus is the one who gives the light. It's beautiful, eh? It's a strange thing that although the soul which experiences this union with God cannot find words and expressions to describe it, nevertheless, when it meets a similar soul, the two understand each other extraordinarily well in regard to these matters, even though they speak but little with each other. This is how our group should be. You don't have to share all the time. But one for one with the Lord, we are one. A soul united with God in this way easily recognizes a similar soul, even if the latter has not revealed its interior life to it, but merely speaks in an ordinary way. It's a kind of spiritual kinship, brothers and sisters. The real brothers and sisters. So, united with God in this way are fewer than we think. Try to be the fewer. That's why Jesus says, many are called, few are chosen. It's not that God doesn't choose us. Or in other words, we didn't choose him. In death. You see, with someone you can understand with the words, and that means try. I've noticed that the Lord grants his grace to souls for two purposes. This is a grace, yes? Something special. The first is when a soul is to do some great work, which is, humanly speaking, absolutely beyond its power. In the second case, I've noticed that the Lord grant it in order that kindred souls may be guided and set at peace, although the Lord can grant this peace, this grace, as he pleases and to whomever he pleases. I read them once again now. I've noticed that the Lord grants this grace to souls for two purposes. The first is when the soul is to do some great work which is, humanly speaking, absolutely beyond its power. In the second case, I've noticed that the Lord granted it in order that the kindred souls might be guided and set at peace, although the Lord can grant this grace as he pleases and to whomever he pleases. However, I have noticed this grace in three priests, one of whom is a secular priest, probably, just quote. He didn't mention the name, but the editors say, probably, Father Sopoko. He's a diocesan priest. The other two, religious priests, probably, Father Elter and Father Andres. And also in two religious sisters, probably Mother Michael and Sister Mary Joseph, but not in the same degree. They share. I think they all live in the Eucharistic unity. It's very important today. It's a special day for us, Day of the Eucharist, or the Blessed Sacrament, and we are so pleased to have this message given us. So apart from the celebration of church, should be our feast. Come deeper and deeper and deeper. Ask, request this special grace, that you be one more one with the Lord. As for myself, I received this grace for the first time, and that for only a brief moment, in the 18th year of my life, within the octave of Corpus Christi, June 18, 1925, that day. During Vesper, when I made to the Lord Jesus the vow of perpetual chastity, I was still living in the world, but I entered the convent soon afterwards. The grace lasted for a very brief moment, but its power was great. After this grace, there was a long interval. It is true that I received many graces from the Lord during this interval, but they were of a different order. It was a time of trials and purification. The trials were so painful, and my soul felt as though it was being totally abandoned by God, and it was accepted in profound darkness. I became aware and understood that no one would be able to bring me out of those torments or even understand me. So even the light is given, also sometimes you live in the darkness, complete darkness, to offer. There were two occasions when my soul was plunged into despair, one for half an hour and the second time for three quarters of an hour. Just like hell. Just as I cannot describe the greatness of the graces, so too with these ordeals sent by the Lord. Whatever words I might use, they are only a pale shadow of the reality. She even can explain this pain, this darkness even. Spiritual experience is very interesting, Can't express with words. However, just as the Lord plunged me into these torments, so too he brought me out of them. Only this lasted for a few years, after which I again received this extraordinary grace of union, which has continued to this day. So in the past, she experienced this darkness for some time, for some year, and then afterwards. Then you can appreciate the light. If you never experienced darkness, how can you experience light? You take for granted, well, this is natural. Always, I have this light. Once you have darkness, and you only Jesus can bring you out, you treasure it, this light. So just to be humble. Don't tell yourself, I'm great, I'm I'm good. We need to learn from Faustina. Stay more with Jesus. Whatever he gives you, light or darkness, whatever, be humble, trust. Still, during this second period of union, there also has been short interruptions. But for some time now, I have not experienced any interruption at all. On the contrary, I'm more and more deeply steeped in God. The great light which illumines the mind gives me knowledge of the greatness of God, but it's not as if I were getting to know the individual attributes as before. No, it is different now. In my moment, I come to know the entire essence of God. So this is not a class of theology. So Jesus said, not chapter by chapter. This is experience. In the same moment, the soul drowns entirely in him and experiences a happiness as great as that of the chosen ones in heaven. Although the chosen ones in heaven see God face to face and are completely and absolutely happy, still the knowledge of God is not the same. God has given me to understand this. This deeper knowledge begins here on earth, depending on the grace given. But to a great extent, it also depends on our faithfulness to that grace. On earth, we can start to have this experience of heaven. Don't wait until you die and then I'll go to heaven. He said, no, with the Lord. However, the soul receiving this unprecedented grace of union with God cannot say that it sees God face to face. Because even here, there is a very, very thin veil of faith. But so very thin that the soul can say that it sees God and talks with him. It's also very, very thin. It is divinized. God allows the soul to know how much he loves it, and the soul sees that better and holier souls than itself have not received this grace. Therefore, it is filled with holy amazement, which maintains it in deep humility, and it steeps itself in its own nothingness and holy astonishment. And the more it humbles itself, the more closely God unites himself with it and descend to it. So, humility requests us. Ask and be given. Ask this special grace that on earth already experienced something about heaven, this divinity. Also, we have to share his life anyway, what we don't know, whatever. Faustina, you know, all her life, so much light. And there's also so much darkness also. You have to pay for make us humble. The soul at this moment is, as it were, hidden. Its senses are inactive. In one moment, it knows God and drunk in self. It knows the whole depth of the unfathomable one. And the deeper this knowledge, the more ardently the soul desires him. So it's a kind of journey also. The more you want to, and you have to go ahead and with sincerity asking. So what can we start today? Ask a special grace, that we have the same grace of you know, share the grace of Sister Faustina, that we always more one with the Lord, first of all. Become nothing, we become nothing for Him. And if it's like to share, to love whatever we encounter in our daily life, that we can say, today, it's not I live, but Jesus lives in me. That's the word of St. Paul.